This message entitled Palm Sunday on Going Way, Way Back was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on March 28th, 2021 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is John 12:12-19.
On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on a donkey's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.
We're going to make sure we have all our papers here. I guess I was sticking to my folder last week. Okay. Praise the Lord. On going way, way back, and you'll see in just a minute what I specifically do mean by that. Palm Sunday, on going way, way back. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, that you do provide a way back and a way forward. You provide a way, dear God, that these things can be shown and known at the same time. I pray, dear God, that you'll have your way in everything that we're about today. And I pray, dear God, for your glory to abound. And we pray this all, dear God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Do you really love God? King David hungered for time that he could have alone with God. He looked forward to it the way we often look forward to being with God. Anyone that we truly love. Pastor wrote in one time and he said, when my oldest son was dating his wife-to-be, he would come in late and say, Dad, I didn't know how late it was. The time just flew. That's the way it is with people that love each other. They want to be together and they are never ready to part. Can you imagine a boy saying to his girlfriend, I wouldn't come to pick you up. I would have come to pick you up sooner, but the evening news was on. Personally, I can't picture that. All right. A couple of illustrations concerning that. I remember more than once having been out with Cindy, this is before we were married, on a date. And I'd bring her home and get her up on the front porch for her to go on in, and then we would have a goodnight kiss. And it wasn't very long before the light on the porch flashed. Now, it didn't do that on its own. There was a switch right inside the door, and somebody was trying to give us a signal. But we showed her. Well, I went ahead and let her go in and so forth. We didn't cause trouble there. But, you know, on the night before you get married, the groom is not supposed to see the bride until the actual wedding. Not all day. It doesn't matter if you got married at night. You weren't to see the bride until later that day. Okay? Well, we had this all planned out. We had been on a date, and I was bringing her home, and it was the night before we were going to be married. Okay? It still cracks me up when I think about it. We went ahead and had a good night kiss, only we closed our eyes, for sure, because she wasn't allowed to see me until the actual wedding. So, and then we kissed, and we kissed, and we kissed, and I have no idea. Well, I do have a pretty good idea of what her mother thought, but but anyway. And then I turned around without opening my eyes and looking in the opposite direction and made my way down the steps and over to the car. She turned around without looking and opened the door and went on in. So we did not, even though it was had to be 5 or 10 or 15 after midnight, you know, we did not see each other after midnight. Weren't we sly devils? You know what I mean? I mean, just tricky, tricky, tricky. All right, well, and that's what we're talking about here, about, you know, can you imagine somebody, you know, two people in love, but they don't really care about seeing each other. Not only do those who are in love want to be together, but also they want to find ways to communicate when they are apart. They'll write letters, they'll call on the phone, send emails, texting, and all that new stuff we didn't have 30 years ago, or actually 50 years ago. Okay, anything to stay in touch. Now, let me ask you a question or two about this. Do you love God? Do you really love him? Do you make time to be alone with him? It doesn't matter if you have time. Do you make time? Does that time drag, like you can't wait till it's over, or does it just seem to fly away? Do you love to talk to God? Do you love to listen carefully for his voice? When you pick up the Bible, which is God's love letter to you, do you hang on every word because you adore the author? If we say we love God, but we do not yearn to be with him, maybe our love is not quite as strong as we think it is. Because you see, it's impossible to love God and not delight in time spent with him. Time spent reading his word or listening for his voice. And what, like I said earlier, I'll say it again, it's not a matter of having time, because a lot of people will think, well, I just don't have the time. You make the time because you love him, because you want to be in touch and you want to hear from him and so forth. You know, do you really love God? Now, I suppose the best place in the Bible to find this love that we're talking about here, a love not only that you might have for him, but that he has for you. I think probably the best place to find that love is at the foot of the cross, because that's where it's most exemplified, to see how much he loves you. Now, technically, we are not there yet. This year, in this Lenten season, we are not there yet. We've come right up to it. Pilate basically says, you Jews, you go ahead and do what you want with him. I've tried and tried and tried to let this guy go, but you go ahead. And that's where we left it. Okay? So we're not at the cross yet. All right? We're just about there, but not quite yet. While we usually just kind of, you know, pick up one foot and put it in front of the other, Cindy used to quote quite often, you know, from the, you know, one of the Christmas movies, you know, put one foot in front of the other, you know, and so forth. While we usually just kind of go forward, we're always talking about going forward. I thought it might be helpful, just this once perhaps, that we go backward. Okay? In fact, way, way back. To get to the beginning, to get the full picture. And so that's what I want to do with you right now. We're going to go backwards. I want you to turn to John 19, please. John 19, verses 12 through 16. And then I think you'll see very quickly what I'm talking about. We're going to go backwards through the Lenten season. Okay? John 19. And verses 12 through 16. This is where Pilate delivers Jesus to be crucified. He takes him to the pavement, takes him to the place of judgment. You know, behold your king. Remember we talked about that. Behold your king. Turn back to John 19, verses 1 through 11, right before, okay, where Jesus is scourged and he is mocked. And Pilate said unto the people, behold the man. See, we're going backwards. First time through, we saw behold the man first, and then it was behold your king. Now we're going backwards. You'll see why, if you don't already. Okay, so behold the man. Turn to John 18. Okay, it is easier if you do that and turn there, because then you'll be able to see for yourself. All right, and here we go again. This is one of those scriptures that contained, you know, I am he. Remember when they're in the garden and Jesus asked them, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. You know, I am the great I am. And not only that, but it also involved the three the hinges were in verses 28 and following. The hinge pins, the various hinge pins. So, once again, go backwards. Let's see. Yeah, 18. Yep, that's right. And then there's John chapter 13. So turn back to 13 now. We're just going to go backwards for a little while here. John 13, verses 1 through 20. Now, what we have done, of course, is just kind of breeze over all of that teaching, all of those red letters that Jesus shared with them as they made their way from the upper room out to the garden. Okay? There's all kinds of teaching that took place. What, 3, 4, 5 chapters of red letters? Okay? These we didn't even cover. We didn't look at these as, so, but we're just going to take it real quick. And once again, you have the, the I am in there. Look at John 14, for example, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right, I am. Praise God. This is a, 13, 1 to 20. Is that where you are? 13, 1 to 20. Okay, there's Jesus in the upper room. And the washing of the disciples' feet, which is where we really started, I think, before. And you have the washing of the feet and how important that was in retrospect. It's a matter of chosenness, that he has chosen them. And now they get an opportunity to choose him. But even that's not back far enough. We're going backwards. Not even that is far enough to go backwards. We need to go way, way back. And that I want you to go to, that was 13 with the washing of the feet. And then there's back at the beginning of chapter 12, there is the time that he spent before Palm Sunday at Bethany with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and from there it says here on the next day, so that would be Sunday, and that would actually be Palm Sunday. So verse 12 of chapter 12 says, on the next day. Now you know Palm Sunday takes place on a Sunday, so what takes place in Mary and Martha's house with Lazarus about the anointing of Mary, that had to be on Saturday. Had to be, okay? Because the very next thing that happened is the next day. And the next day is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Now, all this stuff we just kind of skipped over in the process of going backwards to see where things, happened, we don't have time to go through it all. Some of that stuff we did. That's where we were at. But there's some of these other things that are in here, you know, about the Jesus in the upper room and then a couple of things before you get to Palm Sunday. We don't have time to go over all that. I just want you to see the sequence, okay? Because I think it's important. Jesus' anointing, or Mary's anointing for Jesus, was right before Palm Sunday, the previous day. So what comes next? Well, I think you got it already. That's going to be Palm Sunday. An awesome parade. Just an awesome parade. And all for a purpose. It's not just fun and games. God has a purpose in it. Praise the Lord. Does anybody remember in your own memory? Now, this goes back a number of years ago. This little girl that I'm going to be telling you about, she's all grown up now. You remember the name Jessica McClure? Jessica McClure, she was an 18-month-old girl who fell down an abandoned well pipe a few years back. Well, it's more than a few years now, okay? It took nearly 400, does everybody remember this? I see heads, okay. It was all in the news. It took nearly 400 rescuers in her hometown of Midland, Texas, some 15 hours to pull her from that well. With only a few bumps, bruises, perhaps a cut or two, early on in the rescue process, a key decision was made about how to save baby Jessica. First, they sent someone down to be with her while the rescue took place. They sent someone down. They had, of course, there was the well pipe that she was stuck in, but they had to go alongside that and get somebody down to help her through the whole ordeal. Okay? That was the key decision. First, they sent somebody down to be with her while the rescue took place so that she would not be frightened by all, or minimally frightened by all of the noise and the machinery and the manpower that it would take to save her. Panic, disorientation, anxiety, all could have been life-threatening for her as just basically a baby. So they sent someone down to get next to her and to comfort her. And that's what God did on Palm Sunday. He made it clear that this was his son. This was Jesus. He sent someone down to be with us. Sent Jesus. Praise God. Sent Jesus. To comfort, to lead to the next step, to get her through. And this is what happens, I think, when we confess our sins to one another. Okay? It's like having someone else down in the pit with us, providing a face, providing a form of comfort, and listen as we go through the process of recovery. We have the mistaken idea that if we let someone else know how we are struggling, you know, somehow our credibility as a Christian will be ruined. And that no one is going to trust again, or so we think. That's what we have the idea about, you know? I mean, even me just sharing with you, just briefly even, about our dog and the situation that he's in. And well, he's taken the antidote, so he's supposed to be fine. And I do believe that God's going to get him through. But, you know, there can be a hesitancy in sharing things like that to people because we don't want to feel vulnerable. We don't want to feel, you know, condemned by anybody because, you know, how could you let that happen? I didn't know that stuff was up there, you know. But then when I started to hear him rooting and so forth, that's when I got him back downstairs. And then we just followed the what they said to do, everything they said to do. And so, and she, the doctor did actually assure me that if he did get into any of that, this will take care of it. So she was quite sure of that. So we need to trust God with that same kind of assurance. Praise the Lord. Confession to a Christian brother or sister who will pray and encourage is not a damaging process. It's a healing process. And that's what those firefighters and so forth and rescue workers did for that little girl. They let her know that she was not alone and that they were part of the process and they were going to help her as well. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's what Jesus, that's what God did on Palm Sunday when he sent his own son to travel the road with people. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Praise God. And this parade led the way all the way to the cross. It would be another week before he would be on that cross, or several days before he would actually be on that cross, but it was leading to it. And not only the cross, but the empty tomb. You can't get there without every step along the way. That's why we took the time to go through all those different things that John talks about. And not all the Gospels talked about all those. And that's why we stayed right there, so we could know that God was going to show us the way. Praise the Lord. You have to go way, way back to get there. But you will be so very glad that you did, because it takes you all the way ahead. Amen? You don't stay back there, but you go back there to see how it all began. Amen? And then you keep moving forward, all the way to the cross, all the way to the tomb. And we, in a sense, solidify that. It's a picture now for us, okay? Here's Palm Sunday, all right? And it's a picture for us of how much our God loves us. How much are we going to love him? That's what it came down to. That's what it comes down to. It's what it came down to for King David. It's what it comes down to for everybody you find in the Bible. You're going to love God or not? You see, love God or not? And so it solidifies that idea, and we make our way now. Here's Palm Sunday. You know, tomorrow's Palm Monday, Palm Tuesday. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do palms all the way through everything. They didn't. We need to go through and see what kinds of things happened. And there were a few things that happened before the cross, okay? But I think our focus on Friday night's going to be just that, the cross. We almost got there. We went back. Saw how it all began, saw what God was trying to do, saw that you know, he was making it clear that he was promising to be with us, to come down into that hole with us, so to speak, and be the one that helps us get through it, or literally, in the case of the hole in the ground, out of it. Praise the Lord. So when we come to Good Friday, for example, our focus then is going to be the cross, okay? And we're going to know that God is with us in that. And God is showing himself, making it obvious, conspicuous. Amen? And then that automatically leads us to Easter. You can well imagine, from Good Friday to Easter, it leads us to Easter and, of course, the resurrection. Amen? Before we close it, let me take you right to that time when God did come down to spend time with his people. Turn to John, and we'll close with this. Turn to John, verse 12. Yeah, verse 12. This is after the anointing of Mary, okay? On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, watch this, took branches of palm. Now, I told you before, that's the only place that the palm branches are mentioned. Okay? Specifically as palm trees. Meaning erect, perpendicular, straight up and down. Okay? branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, by the way, the only place where Hosanna is used in the story is in John's gospel. And Hosanna literally means, oh, save. God save. Praise God. God save. I don't know whether that girl that went down that hole, whether she was able to speak with them at all. She was very young. She was only a year and a half old. But, you know, could she speak with them? Could she tell them things? I don't know. But the fact is, she was in a hole that she could not get out of herself. And that's the key. It's God that gets us out of the hole. It's God that comes and spends time with us as he did during this parade. Praise God. And what did they all say? Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass. Now, what? Just watch this verse, would you? When he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written. Okay? Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Interesting, in verse 14, did you ever hear it put so succinctly of how they got that donkey? The other gospels, oh, they send disciples to go check it out. They find the donkeys. They go ahead and untie them. And then when somebody says, hey, what are you doing? Taking the donkeys. And he said, well, the Lord has need of them. Remember all this? The other gospels, they go into much more detail on this. Not this one. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written. You couldn't get any shorter than that. See, God's got a different purpose for John's gospel. He's not trying to explain all the details of everything. He's trying to make it clear what it is for God to come and spend time with his people. To come and participate in this parade. Praise the Lord. These things understood. Now watch this. Verse 16. This is crucial. Watch this. These things understood not his disciples at the first. There you go. Do you remember back a couple of years ago now, I preached a series about, you know, how they didn't get it. Remember? The disciples, you know, they didn't get it. They heard him say this and they heard him say that, but they didn't get it. And this is the verse I was talking about. And I ran across it before this too. And I showed it to you before. But here it is. These things understood not his disciples at the first. They didn't get it. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered. They that these things were written of him. And that they had done these things unto him. They didn't get it at first. Okay? But when he was glorified, when he was, you know, brought through, you know, the parade was over, resurrection was upon them and so forth, that's when they got it. They didn't even get it before that. They didn't understand what was going on. And it says that repeatedly throughout the scriptures. But this is the verse that says why. Why? When Jesus was glorified, that's when they got it. Then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. And the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave. So now we're finding out who's all there. And it's all those people that were standing around when Lazarus came on out and raised him from the dead, bear record. That's not said anywhere else. These people, they were there when they saw Lazarus come out of that tomb. And they bear record. They said, yes, that's Jesus. By the way, the word grave means, now get this, the word grave means a remembrance. It's a way to remember somebody. Amen? Now I think that's crucial to remember. Amen? To remember, to remember. Praise the Lord. Raised him from the dead and bear record, bear witness, bear remembrance. For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. They had heard of Lazarus being raised from the dead. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Now they were saying this among themselves. okay, in a sense, kind of getting after themselves. We're getting nowhere with this guy. Okay, here he is coming in like a king. You know, we're getting nowhere. Perceive ye how ye prevail? Nothing. You're getting nowhere. Behold, the world is gone after him. And how true that would be. And I don't mean just Jews. I mean Gentiles too. Well, you look at the very next verse, and it says there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. My title for that section says, Jesus sought by the Gentiles. And I made an arrow run from the world has gone after him to the word Gentiles. And I wrote beside it, how true. How true. Praise God for that parade. Amen. Praise God, because that revealed what was really going on. That revealed who Jesus really was. Hosanna. Save now. Well, who's going to save anybody if it isn't God? Amen? And they know that this is God. They know this is Jesus. They know he's the one that can save now. Praise the Lord. That is totally different story than the others that are found in the other Gospels. You don't see anything about the Pharisees telling Jesus to shut up all his people. And then Jesus says, yeah, well, if they shut up, then the stones themselves would have to declare it. Not a word of that. Not that it didn't happen. Of course it happened. If it's in one gospel, you know it happened. But God was going to have a parade. And he was going to make it very clear who this Jesus is. Before he gets into Jerusalem and has to deal with the trials and the tribulations and, you know, the betrayals and so forth. Before that, he finds out. Because Jesus took a parade route into Jerusalem. Praise the name of Jesus. And we're going to, in a sense, solidify that as we move later in the week and we see the cross on Good Friday and we see the empty tomb on Sunday. It's going to become solidified. Amen? It's going to become solid. And it should be very solid in our thinking. Amen? So don't think for a minute, just because John has a different way of putting it, that he's wrong or that the others are wrong. Uh-uh. It all fits together. It's all part of the same picture. Amen? Praise God, praise God, praise God. And it all points back to another king, back in Zechariah, who rode on a donkey. And he's a picture of that king. Praise the Lord. And that king was a picture of him. Works two ways. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hosanna. Loud Hosanna. Praise God. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this truth here that's here today. Lord, Jesus was so merciful that he took time for a parade. He didn't say he didn't have time. He didn't say that, well, I'm too busy for this. Let's do it another time. No, he didn't do that. No, he went ahead and took in this parade, so to speak, and made it clear who he really was. Praise the Lord. So I'm glad, dear God, that we went back, to see this. And we went way, way back, all the way to the beginning of the Lenten season. And I pray, dear God, and we didn't do that before. We didn't see Palm Sunday before. We saved it for Palm Sunday today. But now we see it, how it all fits together. And we thank you, Lord, that you are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory, dear God. We thank you, we praise you, and you, dear God, are the one who will be exalted and lifted high. Hallelujah. Amen.